This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
NFL Draft starts tonight. We made it, ladies and gentlemen. NFL Draft first round is tonight, ESPN, NFL Network, but of course right here on Sports Radio 610. 6 p.m. is when you hear Texans Radio. 7 p.m. is when the picking starts. And according to, what is this? Let me make sure. USA Today, just as like a rough estimate, if the Texans stick and pick at 25, around 10-17 is where they would pick. That is obviously not near and exact, but, you know, just generally these things kind of tend to move at a certain pace. If you were like...
Figuring out we're just talking about this.
Yeah, if you wanted to try and find a time, I think that would be
Nick
around
Casario,
the time.
Man, do us a solid, man. Trade up so we could get out there.
Oh, y'all looking for a trade up, not because of value or player. You just like, I'm trying to get to sleep.
Yeah, get up. We got to work in the morning. Hey, do us a solid.
We can do the over-under, 9:30 p.m. The Texans are going
to
pick.
All right, so according to this, again, for whatever that is worth to you, 9:30 p.m. would put is expected to be right before pick 18.
Before or after 9:30 p.m.?
So it'd be a top 17 pick or after is basically what you're asking.
Yeah.
I'm going to go after.
Figgy?
When is it? What's the time?
About 9:30 p.m. And according to the timeline that Reggie has, that'll be about pick number 18.
Ooh, I'm going to say after.
Okay, so we're not. None of us is looking at a bigger trade up than. Oh, I forgot you ain't talking me up. My bad, Lopez. I apologize.
I'm gonna say before.
Oh, so you got a big trade up for the Texans. Before. All right, so again, 713-572-4610. That is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What up, Jim? What do you want to happen tonight, and what do you think will happen tonight, Lopez? It seems like you want some.
Didn't say I wanted it.
Okay, so this is what you think will happen. You think they're trading up.
This is my thing. This is what I think is going to happen.
Almost 10 picks?
And I'll go back to...
9 picks to 16?
Yeah. I'll go back to what I said. Well, or 17, because you said it was pick 18, right?
Yeah, but 17 is the Bengals. I don't know how... Well, maybe they can benefit.
Who knows? There might be some other moving around. This goes back to the Nick Casario's DNA, how he's wired. He's wired to go for SEC or big power four type players, you know, and move up in the draft. If you weren't listening earlier, he's had 18 draft trades, 13 of them to move up.
Yeah.
13 out of the 18. He has been known to be bold in some of these picks. Based on that, I'm going to say I think they're going to move up. Maybe in that range right there. Maybe not quite. It might be after pick 18. But I'm going to say they're going to move up and draft the tackle, the player, or the interior lineman that they like, either Donovan Jackson or Kelvin Banks. What I want to happen.
Yeah, I feel like the big move up would be Kelvin Banks. I don't know that Donovan Jackson you need to make
that's
a big
true.
Move up for.
Well, it depends on what happened, but yes. What I want to happen, and this has nothing to do with the first round, so maybe I'm bending the rules here a little bit.
Yeah, because we're going to talk tomorrow. You act like we're just not going to talk to the draft.
Well, I'll just throw it out there, then I'll have another one for you.
All right, cool.
What I want to happen, as you guys know, is I want them to prioritize running back in a day two round.
Okay.
Second, third round. I want another big-time running back. So in terms of what I want to happen tonight, I kind of want that to happen too. What I think they're going to do and what I want them to do is kind of the same thing. I want to see them go get the player that they think is going to bolster the offensive line.
Okay. Some other texts that have come in from the 832. I'm guessing what they believe will happen. They say the Texans will stick and pick at 25. Donovan Jackson or Emeka Egbuka is what they're going for there. From the 832, they said their mind is spiraling. But to bring up what was talked about earlier, they think if Golden slides. Or is there, you pick him, more lineman than wide receiver. can make them an impact starting, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. And then the 832, they said their dream of a particular variety that I'm not going to say on the air is for the Texans to somehow find a way to trade up and take Tyler Warren.
That would be a big move.
You in on that? You in on that on a move as a move?
Who wouldn't be?
I mean, he's such a good player. He's a very good tight end.
Who wouldn't be?
You would. I mean, you in some ways be helping your line because, well, Warren isn't like a huge blocker necessarily, but he does some of it. He can.
Yeah.
The only thing that I say about Warren, and I don't think this is inherently a bad thing. I just think it is a nuance of it that you would have to take into consideration, and obviously they would, is just he strikes me a little bit less as like the prototypical tight end that you draft, which is fine, and that's actually kind of the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But like he seems like a Brock Bowers, like a Jimmy Graham, that if you have him, you kind of want to cater to him in your offense. I don't know that you have an offense that would cater to a Tyler Warren, or maybe it would, man. I don't know, man.
You got the offensive coordinator that was a tight end coach.
The Patriots tended to use tight ends.
They did. Yeah, you could talk me into it. I'd have to know what you're giving up, but you got a lot of draft capital to deal with.
And you've said, you know, where are you going to slot these guys? How are you going to roster them?
No, yeah, you are asking how you're going to roster all these guys if you do select seven in this in this draft. So. Nah, you could hear me. You could hit me with that. I think that for me, what I think will happen is probably in line, kind of what I want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they'll stick and pick at 25 because when we think about all of the things that this team cares about, right? Mm-hmm. They want to get better from the inside out. They want to have a guy who has the right mentality. Oftentimes they go to a big school player, a guy that can drop in and have an impact, right? Leadership roles, all those things. Tyler Booker feels like he fits that so perfectly.
Yeah.
And even in this space where we have guys seemingly on the day of the NFL draft round one, people are talking about offensive line going up there. Well, Kelvin Banks being associated with the top 10 picks to the point of like 6 and 7 being places where he goes and maybe more offensive linemen going. I think that you see a quarterback trade up that helps. But I think that, you know, Tyler Booker is going to be there in those later rounds. And I know some people have kind of, I was looking at The Athletic put out, according to draft odds, if you were there to believe Vegas, you know, where people would go. And Tyler Booker is expected to be at like 31
in that spot, yeah.
And we know that this team does not necessarily care as much about the opportunity cost, per se, or the testing. I think that if Tyler Booker's there at 25, he fits what they want. He's their kind of guy. I think they stick and pick him, and I'd be 100% good with it.
Figgy, what do you think is going to happen? What do you want to happen? As Reggie was talking, I was thinking, I kind of think there's a part of Nick Caserio. Now, he doesn't do it for this reason, trust me. But I think he enjoys that bold move. I think he likes the all right.
And he said Nick is a look at me, Louie. That's crazy.
No. I think it's how he's wired.
Yeah.
I like to make that move. That's my guy. I'm going to go get him.
I take it a step further. I feel like Nick Caserio is the guy that liked to call and try to find a sucker. Like, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if he was calling the Browns. Like, what you want for that number 2 overall pick?
We find out that all that reporting about the Browns and Giants getting calls about 2 and 3 is just Nick saying, what would it take?
He probably what you thinking? I can see him calling everybody in front of him trying to.
Wait, so Nick Casario is a dude on Facebook Marketplace just offering folks?
Yep.
You say you got a PS5? Yep. I'll give you 50.
Yep, that's exactly what he is. I think he's trying to find a sucker. But as far as what I think he's going to do, I feel like he probably going to – I can see him moving a couple steps up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to get to 10 or 12 or nothing like that. But I do feel like if somebody is there and they're sliding, I can see him jumping up a couple spots.
I will say, and you could be dead right on this, I don't see them staying.
Okay.
At 25, simply because the two teams directly in front of them could be targeting the guy that they want.
So maybe just to jump forward to give themselves a little bit of certainty.
Right, even if it's not to, you know, pick 18, 17, 16, whatever, but even if it's to 22, 23, because the Packers are looking at linemen, the Vikings, you know, are looking at linemen, et cetera. So I could absolutely see that happening.
So maybe see if you, like, find a partner in, like, maybe the Los Angeles Chargers at 22.
Sure. Sure.
And see if you can give them a little sum. I'm trying to think.
Just to ensure that you're getting your guy.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of those teams that are just a little bit ahead of them. Which are the teams that kind of need more picks that maybe help you? And like the Chargers might be in one of those because they very recently have had a lot of kind of expensive players, maybe getting a whole bunch of cheap players.
Chargers might be, one of the better examples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it'd be all too costly to jump up those few picks from 25 to 22. Not that you're, you know, not that you're pricing this out and being a little thrifty about it, but no need to be too expensive about the way that you jump there.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. The Patriots were killing teams with their tight ends. I see what you were doing there. I understand. I appreciate the joke. So I did mention that there's a little bit of sports betting going on. The Athletic kind of put together based off of odds where various people go. Is there anybody that you're curious about or any team that you're curious about? Because one of them is, well, I'll start with the Texans because I know we're all curious about that. According to the betting odds, and this falls in line with a lot of the mock drafts that we've seen to this point, the betting odds have the Texans selecting out of Ohio State.
There we go.
Tackle Josh Simmons.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Donovan Jackson.
I know, that's why I did it the way that I did.
Yeah.
Does that make you comfortable, uncomfortable?
I don't see it happening, man.
You're jumping in with the dude with the patellar tendon injury and then...
And the poor man's Laremy Tunsil.
Supposedly, right?
Yeah.
Like he has those questions out there about, what is it, kind of maturity? I don't know how much to...
Commitment to doing everything necessary.
Right. I don't know how to substantiate those things, but if there's a question out there, I would assume that D'Amico and Nick Caserio would have sussed it out, but two, that's a question. I can't imagine that that's a guy that the Texans select with what they believe. Any other places that you're interested in?
Well, I'm interested in this because Figgy got me thinking. What player, like, in the top 10, by and large, do you think the Texans, if they actually go, screw it, let's move way up? And I'm not talking about with the Browns to 2. Let's say they move up to 7, 8, 9, you know, something
7,
like,
8, 9, 10.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Could you see them doing that, first of all? Because I think it's a possibility. I wouldn't say a great possibility, but I think it's a possibility.
Well, you did that for Will Anderson Jr., right?
Yeah.
And what do you have for Will Anderson Jr.?
They were at 12, though.
Right, but I think
25 to top 10, that's a lot. And I do feel like they got the MO to do it if they really wanted to. And he did mention the short draft board, the smaller draft board. So maybe it might be worth it for them.
Well, right. But so let's 25 to, top 10 would be, that'd be 15. But I mean, I still think let's try and use history to inform what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So an 11 pick jump or what have you, or a 9 pick jump rather, to select Will Anderson Jr., a player who, generational kind of talent, and also very much fits that mentality that they want in the building. I feel like you'd have to have both of those things in a player, and I think it's tough because I don't know that you have a lot of guys that you go generational talent outside of a
I'm glad you asked that. Let's say they go crazy. Let's get crazy here, all right? And he decides we're willing to give up a lot of assets to move to, let's say, pick number 7. The head coach is a former Houston Texan. Has a lot of relationships in this building, including, I'm sure, with D'Amico Ryans, with whom he played, I believe. It was a little bit of a crossover there. Maybe not. Aaron Glenn. Jets need picks. He's got equity to build. Texans.
And they've already also acknowledged that this year is not going to be a winning season for them, as evidenced by the fact that they're going Justin Fields at quarterback.
Right. So there's Aaron Glenn, pick number 7. And there's Tyler Warren. At pick number 7, what are the odds that they go crazy and move up with their old friend Aaron Glenn to pick number 7 and draft Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State?
I feel like the odds are low. However,
the city would go nuts.
It's non-zero, and I think that would be incredibly fun.
This city would go nuts.
But the fun thing about that, I think it would be fun to have that kind of player. What's the best way to put this? I do wonder how on board, like, what's the percentage of folks that be on board with that move once it happens? Is it 90?
At least.
Because I do think that there's a decent amount of folks out here that rightfully look at the offensive line and, like, if you're not addressing that early, it feels like you're not taking advantage of the opportunity that is in front of you.
Sure, sure. No, I mean, that's why we started with linemen here. And
which is weird.
Maybe
considering
not moving up too much. But I'm saying, let's say...
Any other year that never... Like, people don't go, I need the offensive lineman. But because of the way that the offensive line looked last year, I think there'd be some people that go, I don't know.
What position did the new offensive coordinator coach for his entire career?
Figgy?
Tight ends.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said they'd give up next year's first for Tyler Warren.
I don't know about that, but go a little crazy? Is it crazy time now?
Hey, it's time to win.
Yeah.
It's time to win. Like, all that rebuilding stuff was the last couple years, man. It's time to win now. They feel like they could grab a some type of generational talent mm-hmm. that can help them right now?
Yeah. Because outside of the top three players, you know, Cam Ward and Travis Hunter and obviously Abdul Carter, he's probably the one that's the most likely to be, you know, a generational type player.
Tyler Warren
on the board.
Just pure talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler Warren's up there. I can't tell you I'd be up here mad tomorrow. I cannot tell you that.
We're going to be drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, man.
I would be excited about that.
Yeah, because if you told us about the whole Will Anderson trade and all that stuff before, we would have been like, oh, that's giving up too much, mm-hmm. which, to be fair, some people felt like that was a little too much. But when that happened in real time, we was going crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thursday. Coming up next is typically the time where we hand it over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us?
Man, I got a bunch of funny audio from celebrities that gagged their interviewer.
What?
Yep.
All right. I'm guessing you're using gag in the the colloquial sense?
Yeah, okay. that pretty much shot their interview.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, I'm using the kids' terms.
Using
I don't want to open the text board for a while.
Well, too bad, we're doing it next.
Yes, it is Figgy Smith's tape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding down on a Thursday. Happy draft Thursday. Ready to get out there to the draft party and have some fun. And if you're going to be out there, let me know. Hit me up at the Figgy Fig. I got to vent real quick. I'm really upset with somebody I know, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, Lopez, what you do?
Nah, it's nobody here.
Here. My bad.
So shout out to my good friend DJ Holly Grove.
Okay.
The Chop Stars. Chop, not slop.
Yes,
as
sir.
They like to say. So I got yesterday. And if you on Instagram, they have a thing called Insta Notes.
Mm-hmm.
That's like right above your story, your Instagram story. And you could kind of look at it as like an old Facebook status.
Ah, yeah. Right.
You could just kind of write whatever you're doing or whatever note you want to write. And so he posted in his Insta note, it said, surgery in a few hours. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I DM'd him. I responded to that note and said, prayers, bro.
Yeah.
Just kept it simple. With the prayer, I said, prayers, bro.
Yeah. You know?
He responded back with a screenshot of an image that said this: since you replied to my note, you are in the game. You have to post one of these things on your Insta notes.
We doing chain mail on social media now?
Bro, it was a game. It was a game people was doing.
Yeah.
So this was the list of stuff. So apparently since I replied, now I got to be in the game.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, so it was a bunch of stuff like, we broke up, don't message me.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna change schools, broken with the broken heart emoji. Like, I'm like, dog, why is you playing this damn game?
I don't think it was him.
No, it wasn't.
It's his account.
I thought he got hacked or something.
No, he didn't get hacked.
Facebook post those
things? So he said somebody got him.
Oh, okay.
So he was...
So you do know it was him.
Yes,
you know, Facebook does that a lot. Like where?
No. He wasn't hacked. He was playing the game. I'm like, dog.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing this, man?
Yeah.
I didn't. I really thought that the chain mail type things are something that we had left in the past.
Yeah.
These little games, these Instagram games, is like 20 years old, man. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we still playing this stuff?
I thought
he was dead serious.
I've never understood why people felt like they were beholden to this. I was like, you know what you could do? Not. Because that's what I've done every single time.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not playing this crap, man. I'm like, dog, what's wrong with you, man?
Here's the thing. I'm looking at it now, and he says, I'll be the one to choose which one you have to post, and you have to keep it up for 24 hours. And since you replied, as you said, but you have to post one of these, and you can't say no. I'm like, sure, I can.
He said,
sure, I can.
And then the one
absolutely
and
then,
who gonna check me is my response.
Yeah. And then he sent me. So this is the one he sent me. He sent me the one that said "dye my hair." LOL.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a regular. That's every month.
You know what he was trying to do? He was like, "You can play, but I'm gonna help you out to get out of it because people aren't. Nobody's gonna respond."
Okay,
he was trying to give you an out.
Okay,
if he was
okay.
Gonna play.
I see that.
I see the game.
I'm just like, man, that like ain't nobody about to respond to that. But I got it. But I was pissed off, man. I'm like, come on, man. I expect better from you, DJ Holly Grove.
That's the thing, right? It's like, don't do this. Don't do this. At why?
At your big age.
Yeah.
If I'm doing something like that, man, check on me in real life. Check on me in real life. I might be hacked or somebody got me held hostage. All right, now let's get to this, man. Right. The celebrities that gagged their interviewer. 713-572-4610.
It goes either one way where people are just like, I don't understand, or another way where people have probably been online different space.
Let me clean it up for the nerds out there.
Not just the nerds, for the debauchers.
Or the lames out there. All the people that's not cool. So pretty much interviews that went off the rails.
Okay.
So the person that's interviewing somebody and then it just go off the rails where they like, oh. So I got a list of these. So the first one I want to go with, I got to go with the Godfather of Soul. Who is the Godfather of Soul?
James Brown.
James Brown.
Yeah. This is James Brown on CNN. And just
sweating like a sweating like a Easter pit ham or whatever, a Christmas pig, something like that.
Yeah, this is him just being James Brown.
Yeah. Now, the women love you when you get out there. Why do you think that is?
What did you say?
The women love you when you get out there.
Why is that, ladies?
Well, I'm asking you.
Huh? Because I look good.
Why do you think that is?
I smell good. I feel good.
And you sing good.
And make love good.
Oh.
the O?
Well, there we are. We don't have to ask anybody else. We got that from the source. There you are.
What was wrong with him on CNN?
He said, what was wrong with him? I can tell you what was wrong with him. He was zooted. That's what was wrong
he
with him.
He was zooted on that white horse.
That man was higher than insert high thing here that I probably can't say on air. It was very high.
Yeah, so speaking of that white horse, John Lopez' best friend, Charlie Sheen.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Hey, that's your boy, man. Y'all hung out on private planes.
That's your man's?
That's your man's. That's your guy.
35 years ago.
Yeah, man. That's your guy.
So the friendship goes a long way. I get it. Makes sense.
Okay.
So if you walk in this room, you better keep that same energy, man.
I will say I've been to a party in which the white powder was there, and so was Charlie Sheen. I will say that.
Hey, yo.
All right, here's Charlie Sheen when he was on that legendary run of interviews talking about that white stuff.
Tell me about the last time you took drugs.
The last time I took drugs, I probably took more than anybody could survive, you know.
What are we talking about? How much?
I don't know, man. I was banging 7-gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
How do you survive that?
Because I'm me.
That's Lopez man right there.
That's your
there.
Man.
That's your guy.
That's your guy.
Hell of a nice guy, I will say.
Was he in that Mexican restaurant with you? In the back of that Mexican restaurant? You tried it?
No.
That's your man.
Your man. I forgot how fast he was talking even in that moment. It was like, this is probably more level for him, but I don't think he was sober in that moment.
No, 100% he was not. That is a lie if he said he was.
Yeah.
Here's another one, Pat McAfee. This was early on Pat McAfee. Like, he looked young in the video. It wasn't no ESPN money or nothing like that. And he had a guy by the name of Adam Cole on who was a wrestler. I don't know how big he got as a wrestler, but during this time he was on NXT.
Okay.
And so this is how that went, and Adam Cole kind of went off the rails a little bit.
That's good business. Hey, that's business, baby. That's very smart.
Well, and especially for you, because, you know, you're kind of small.
Oh, we're going to go with the size thing now.
You, Pat. Seriously, I'm sick of your I come the whole way here, take time away from my family to come to do your stupid show.
Hey.
And you're going to continue to disrespect me. Oh, don't touch me.
Whoa.
You.
No, get out of here.
You all right?
All right.
I had to check with Sean Pendergast because Sean, I don't know if Sean saw this clip before I showed him, but I'm like, is this real?
Yeah.
Because, you know, wrestlers, sometimes they get in that mode where they know how to push the right buttons to make it look super real.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was legit, man. I don't know what he was on.
No, I get it. Well, I know what he was on. He was on that you play too much, right? Yeah. Like, there's some people it's like, ha, we can play to a certain point, but this is the line. And I get it. Pat McAfee very much strikes me as a dude who just plays too much. Like, he does not realize, hey, you're pushing a little far here, brother. We need to stop.
I would have liked to have seen more of the interview because you could be right, but it could be that guy was just nuts. You know?
Yeah, it could. It,
very
it,
sensitive.
It
could
well, yeah. I mean, the way that it happened, right, yeah. it seemed very evident when he was talking about, like, being little. When he was it's the too little thing again, which is like, this is clearly something that people poke at, that Pat knows that they poke at, which is the reason why he poked at him for it.
Yeah.
But clearly, this is something that, you know, he a little sensitive about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when he's sensitive about it, if you don't want him to blow up and if you want to be an interviewer that actually wants to continue the interview, might not joke with him.
Yeah, just move on to something else.
That was one of those, you thought you were a little bit more friendly than he did.
Yeah.
So he was like, we're not that cool, dog.
We aren't. Exactly. Now, this one right here, this was definitely real. Like, I don't have to question this one. Everybody remember this one. Oh, Jim Everett.
Mm-hmm.
As Jim Rohn liked to say, Chris Everett.
Jim, good to have you on the show.
Good to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Check that. Chris Everett, good to have you on the show.
You know what? You know, you've been calling me that for about the last 5 years.
About 2 years, actually, Chris. You may have even been Jim Everett back there, but somewhere along the way, Jim, you ceased being Jim and you became Chris.
Well, let me tell you a little secret. That, you know, we're sitting here right now, and if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett to my face one more time...
I already did it
twice. You call one more time, we better take a station break. You've been talking like this behind my back for a long
time. But now I said it right here.
Right, exactly.
Well, we got no problem with
that. Well, I think that you probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris?
Habitual line stepper. Shout out to the many people on the text line. That is Pat McAfee, and that's absolutely Jim. Jim Rohn, he wanted smoke.
Yeah, you could tell the way the interview started. He was just like, hey, we here. We got a 5-minute segment. Let's go, man. Yeah. We got time. Chris
made his career.
And apparently the 281 seems like somebody that's in on the wrestling. They said Adam Cole's spot was acting, that they ended up wrestling in NXT. Okay.
Okay, so that was kind of staged.
All right, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It still looked kind of scary, though.
Yeah.
But that one right there, you know that's real.
That was
real.
I don't think that was staged.
Yeah. You could tell. One of the things I love about Jim Everett in that moment is that you could tell as he's like, you know, you do this all the time. I could almost see him calculating, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Because I want to touch this man.
Yeah.
But what are the consequences? And he's like, I bet you won't do it again. He's like, I bet I will. He's like, okay, it's time. The time has come.
That's former Oiler Jim Everett.
That's right.
Yeah. He actually followed me on Twitter.
He does?
Because I think I tweeted something about that. And he gave me a follow. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So once in a while, he'll like a tweet. But shout out to Jim Everett. How about this one? This one, I would not play with this guy either. Old Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was doing a TV interview with somebody, and the interviewer decided to bring up his rape case.
Oh. Some of your critics would say, you know, there's a race for mayor. We know you're a convicted rapist. This could hurt his campaign. How would you respond to that?
Hey, I don't know who said that. You're the only one I heard say that. You know what I mean? And I don't have no comment to that, you know, because it's negative and you're being negative. And I met the mayor.
Right.
And nothing they can do about it.
We actually had a really good time. We talked about George Travallo, who's a legend in your city, highs and lows.
So interesting, because you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of
hey,
with that
come
comment.
On, come on.
No, that was a piece of
Is it nerve-wracking for you to do something like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare?
I don't know. It's more nerve-wracking for me to hear talking to a rap piece like you.
Come on, Mike.
No, because you're a piece
all right.
Really, that's
we're gonna wrap up this interview. Thank you for coming in.
Bleep you.
That's one of my favorite moments in interview history, man.
And, oh, by the way, bleep you.
Yeah. No, you could just see Mike Tyson. He was just sitting there thinking like, nah, I'm getting mad. You could see him getting pissed.
Yeah.
And then he just went on.
And then, he couldn't hold it anymore.
I don't see how I could talk to a rat piece of bleep like you. Like, oh, come on, Mike.
Yeah.
now to the guy doing the interview. It's Mike Tyson, man. Why would you bring that up in front of Mike Tyson?
He's trying to speak truth to power.
He's right there in front of you, man. Like, nah, I would stay away from that, man. But I guess that's good journalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that, so speaking of the journalists, is that good journalism?
I think there's other
that
ways.
You had to bring that up?
There's other ways.
He brought it up strong, too.
I was going to say, there's other ways to.
No, I feel like you said he brought it up strong. I think he was just trying to slide that in real right quick. We know you're convicted rapist. What? Huh? You said what?
But that's some of the fun interviews I found trending a little bit. Real quick, get you out of here. Rest in peace to Steve McMichael.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Passed away yesterday. He had ALS. He was fighting with ALS and all that stuff. Actually got into the Hall of Fame last year.
Yes, he did.
So I was actually there, saw his family on stage and all that stuff. That was cool. But did you know he had a beef with the umpire, Aaron Hernandez?
Who doesn't have a beef with Aaron?
Well, he did. He was in the flesh. He was at a, I want to say this was a Cubs game.
He was doing the seventh inning stretch.
And he said, you know what? He said, you know what? Let me speak my mind on this umpire here.
And don't worry, I'll have some speaks with that home plate umpire after the game. Security's up here asking me to leave. I don't know what I did.
It may be a very brief visit. I mean,
it's hard to kick Darnell Numb from way up here, baby. I don't know how I got kicked out.
They tried to kick him out.
Angel Hernandez turned around, looked at him, and put his hands on his hips, like staring at him.
He should have tried to throw him out from down there. Like, hey, you're out of here, buddy.
Yeah, but rest in peace, Houston zone.
That's right.
Houston zone, Steve and Michael.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Rest in peace, Mongo, says Sally on the YouTube page. All right, that is Figgy's Mixtape every weekday at 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig on social media.
And nobody sent me a vibe check.
Wow, really?
Oh, wow.
But you know what? I wasn't offended. I felt like everybody was just enjoying the game. Yeah. So I can't be mad. I was locked in. It looked like it was pretty hyped too, so I'm good with it.
Are you trying to get vibe checks from the draft party today?
He's gonna get them.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. Yeah, I'm gonna be there. So,
yeah. I think we'll all be there at the draft party today at the Avenida, you know, and see where the Texans ultimately pick and who they select in the first round of the NFL draft. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's crosstalk with the fellas of the drive. It's Clint and Tron, and we'll do it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a round one Thursday here. NFL draft coming up here shortly. Mm-hmm. And so appreciate you guys hanging out with us to this point. Getting ready to talk to the fellas of the drive, Clint and Ron, who are out at the Avenida where the draft party is taking place. And so we'll talk to them here in a second. What is your confidence level in Nick Caserio on getting this right in however way you want to deem correct and right? Because, I mean, we just got a text in on the Jim out of the Hammer text line saying that they're hoping that Nick doesn't bleep it up. He should use his picks, they say. He needs too much. He needs a guard, speedy, wide out, center, decent running back. They said he's going to move up for no reason to make himself look smart. Stay put and keep the picks.
Well, he's not going
to
do that.
Yeah, what's a way to, you will be unhappy with this? Like, what's a way he can really mess this up where you kind of come in to work a little bit?
See, that's kind of part of my answer.
Yeah.
Confidence level. My confidence level is high that it's hard to screw this up this year because they really just need a piece here, you know, an extra body, not an extra body, but an extra someone else to compete, as they like to say, or maybe just a receiver. So, like, they're so close, it's kind of hard to screw that up. Like, you know, if you just go with mock drafts and not even your own research and your own interviews and your own everything else, it's kind of hard to screw up. But this is the part of the answer where I think it gets a little complicated. If he moves up for an offensive lineman or stays put for an offensive lineman and a year, 2 years in, then it's another, you know, pick that doesn't work out on the offensive line, then you start to lose real confidence. It's been sort of danced around. Remember he bristled when he was asked about it in his press conference, et cetera.
That's what got him to the point of cussing.
Yeah, that's what made him drop that bomb. So if that happens again, my answer is, Figgies, my confidence level is high, but let me update that in 2 years.
Yeah. So I think that's some of it, and it's something that's inherent with the NFL draft generally is that whether somebody gets it right or gets it wrong, mm-hmm. I guess, in the way of speaking, isn't often dictated on the day.
Yeah.
And usually if they get it wrong on the day, it's because they bleeped it up in a way that feels magnificent.
Yeah.
Right? And even some of those instances, and we've talked about some of those times where – like you drafted Jack Sock in the first round, off-ball linebacker from Detroit, and you look up and you go, actually, it kind of worked out for him, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I think that's where it gets interesting. And I think it's because I feel like there's a level of trust that that Nick Caserio has been built with what's happening here. Maybe offensive line is the place where you have a little bit of concern, but I think that also stands out because of how well he has done in other aspects. And I take you to Jonathan M. Alexander, who wrote a fantastic profile on Nick Caserio in the Houston Chronicle that was there today. I encourage you to take an opportunity to read it. But I was also I enjoyed it quite a bit because I felt vindicated, Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about in March how Caserio dealt Laremy Tunsil and C.J. Stroud drove to NRG Stadium and asked to chat with Nick Caserio, saying, quote, I was confused. Laramie is one of my best friends. He's somebody who is a big brother to me, someone who was my locker room mate for 2.5 years, and somebody I got close with off the field. Apparently, Stroud had questions, and then, you know, but he said no matter what happens, he always has something up his sleeve. So, of course, sometimes you don't know what that is, but you just have to trust, and that's something that I've got basically developed with Nick, mm-hmm. in essence. Huzzah. Because I did talk. We talked about this earlier in the week where when he was talking about it, sounded mm-hmm. like C.J. Stroud did have some concerns about that trade, not necessarily being, I don't want to say he wasn't on board, but it seems like there was a level of, hey, let me go talk to this man. Let me hop in my car and go talk to this dude. Yeah. But ultimately, one thing is this, C.J. Stroud, company man, and it seems like Nick Caseri was able to talk to him in such a way where he was like, look, this is what we're planning on. This is what we have. Yeah. And he's on board with it, obviously.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is another part of the discussion we had. You can be upset about it, but also know that it was maybe necessary, and I think that's probably what Nick was telling him.
How much do you think that having that conversation maybe leans to the idea that they will stick offensive line? I mean, hell, you listen to Daniel Jeremiah, and he's like, they got two guys that I know for certain that those are their guys when it comes to Booker and Banks, and almost putting it entirely in this place where they're drafting offensive linemen, despite what Nick Caserio said about drafting for need.
It's the safest pick. It's the safest bet. It's the easy way to assure yourself that you're going to have an offensive line that has at least, you know, really good competition and several possibilities in the front. It's the safest thing to predict tonight is the Texans draft the offensive lineman. I don't necessarily think it's what's going to actually happen. I think there's other possibilities, but it's the safest thing to say.
Power rank the other possibilities, right? Draft an offensive lineman, that feels like it's just
that's number
really...
one. I would say wide receiver number two.
Wide receiver two.
Yeah.
And then after that, you just like, this all falls off a cliff.
Well, after that, I think it would be, we would have questions about it. Oh, defensive tackle, huh? Okay. Running. Well, you're not going to draft a running back. But tight end if you don't move up. You know, maybe the third or fourth tight end. You'd be kind of like, okay, well, we'll see.
Yeah, third or fourth tight end, that would. I might have some terse words to put up at that point. Somebody said, do we need a new center if CJ is now getting the power to adjust protection at the line of scrimmage? That's also a great question to ask, right? Because that's one of the things where it felt like, and not just adjust, but if he has more power to maybe set protections is probably the more important part of this, because that was the weird thing is it felt like CJ maybe didn't have as much.
It makes the center's job easier.
And the centers, especially when you had the young guys, right, having to set protections, that did seem like that was a level of issue. But also, some of the issue was just whatever the protections that they were setting, it did not seem like the rules and principles that they had were going to be useful for them. And so, yeah, there has to be some level of optimism going into a different regime. But yeah, hopefully also that helps them in that space. That does make me wonder about what the Gray Zabel possibility, who for those who care, John Harris, right, who does the football takeover, right?
No.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Had a moment of a brain fart of sorts. .com. He has that website. Getting you ready for the draft as well. His final mock draft has the Texans selecting Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State, who is an interior guy, I think, by all accounts, even though he's played everywhere on the line in his college career. And it seems like people are largely profiling him more and more towards playing a center. So I think that's the thing that makes me go, huh, maybe not. But he can play guard, clearly. There is that flexibility there.